different Tuesday at noon when the saucer landed.
Well, I'll tell you the story from the beginning. It was about 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. And I was looking out my kitchen window and I heard this terrible swirling noise like knobby tires on wet pavement. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
And with the jet go here so much, I didn't pay any attention to it. And all of a sudden, that huge thing settled down in my yard, and at first I didn't know if the roof came off of my house or what it was, you know.
Was there much vibration?
Nothing. No vibration whatsoever. It just settled down.
But did you see this thing landing?
I did.
And how did it come in? Like
it came
a propeller?
Straight down.
Straight down at a high rate of speed?
No, it was real slow, just like an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Real steady and slow. I don't think it set quite on the ground. It just hovered there.
Like a helicopter?
Yeah, but it didn't leave any marks on the ground, and that's why I don't think it settled here such a short time that I couldn't see everything.
Oh, were you alone when you saw this?
Oh, yes.
And what did you do when it hovered over the ground? Did you run out there?
I ran outside right quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I would if a car would drive up. And a hatch opened in the top of this machine. And a man standing there, and he held up a thing that looked like a water jug, which it turned out to be.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say a word, only he motioned. He wanted water. You know, like you motion, you want a drink.
Uh-huh.
So I took the jug and I filled it for him and I brought it back. And while I'm filling the jug, I was thinking, what could I do? I didn't come up with any answers. So I handed him up the jug, which is about almost 6 feet up to his head. They were in the top part of this machine, and I presume the bottom part of it was all motor or something.
They?
Yeah.
Well, you saw the one man.
There were three of them.
Oh, three of them got out?
No, none of them got out. None of them got out. They stayed right in the place.
Well, did this thing have windows in it?
Nope.
Well, how could you tell there were more than one?
Because I could see in there through the open hatch.
Well, the hatch was on the top.
It was on the top half of this machine, see?
Mm-hmm.
And you could see in there like there was indirect lighting or something. I don't know. It was immaculate inside. I'm getting ahead of my story.
Yes.
When I handed him the water, one man was cooking these old pancake things. And I don't know why I did it, but I motioned. I pointed to him, and then I made a motion with my mouth like eating. The man that took the water, he looked down at me, and he reached over, and he got four of these little cakes, and he handed them down to me. And he closed the hatch. That was it. Then he took off.
But what do these men look like?
Well, they look like Italian. What they looked like, they were about 5 foot tall, 120 pounds, I presume, and they were wearing a black jersey-looking clothes. You know what I mean? They two-piece outfit, turtleneck, no buttons, and they had a form-fitting cap on, like if they wore a helmet over it sometimes. Now, these other two men didn't even look at me. One was at the instrument board. I presume holding the ship there. He didn't even turn around. He stayed right there. One cooking these things, he stayed at his post.
Well, they look like normal human beings.
Normal human beings. Their eyes were just like ours, their hands, their arms, everything.
Except the height.
The height was white, only, you know, sort of dark complexion, like I tell you.
What else could you see inside?
I could see three of these instrument boards. They were about, I would say, 3 foot by 4 foot diagonal. And each one of them had a iron, like like an iron band around them, you know, about 8 foot high, like a protection. Now, on each side of those iron bands, there was a stabilizing cable or rope or something with a snap in it. These men standing there, they had rings on the side of their toes or else a belt. I couldn't detect just what it was. They were sassing them when they got in the station, see?
Well, Mr. Simington, when this one fellow motioned for water and you brought it out, were you frightened? Do you think, what did you think?
No, I was scared. I didn't see it. Nothing to be scared of. He had no firearms and no weapons and nothing on him. And normal, so I gave it to him. I was friendly with him. He was friendly with me, so that was it.
Well, now, what about these pancakes? They gave you three of those?
They gave me four of them.
Four of them?
Yeah. I sent one in. Our county judge, Carter, sent one in to Washington for an hour.
But when did you notify Judge Carter about this?
Oh, that was about 8 before yesterday. Nobody would believe me.
Well, did you talk to other people before?
I talked to other people before I talked to Jeff Carter, yes.
And what did they say? What was their reaction?
They thought it was a big joke.
A big joke? What did Jeff Carter think?
Oh, he belongs to this Flying Saucer Club, but he didn't think it was a joke. He said it looked almost like this thing.
He tended to believe your story.
Oh, yes, yeah, everybody's believing it now, because I got the evidence.
Well, now, you say they sent one in to Washington for analysis. When did they send it?
I don't know where he sent it. You'd have to contact him.
What happened to the other three?
I got them.
Have you eaten any of them?
My face is a bite of Washington.
Well, what are they like?
Yeah, it tasted just like a piece of cardboard. It has no more flavor to it than nothing. They're very thin, and they're porous. You hold them up to the light, and they look like a grape confetti, if you know what that is. They're real thin, and they're solid. There's no baking powder. Doesn't make them raise in there.
Mr. Farrington.
Bart,
go ahead.
And when you on the stool, it looks like a synthetic rubber or something. The only thing there is.
Well, now,
markings on the ground. That's
the funny thing.
Mr. Simonton, am I correct in assuming you did get into this hatch or you didn't?
No, no, no.
But you could see in there.
I could see in there from where I was standing. The hatch raised up like the trunk of a car, you know?
Uh-huh.
I raised it up and it stayed put, just like that.
But this hatch was above the level of 10 or 12 feet off the ground, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was about 6 feet where it opened. See, the center of the machine. The center of the machine, it was just like two great big bowls put together, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The top and the bottom looked just like no wheels, no nothing.
But you could see onto the inside of it.
I could see the inside part of it. I could see that much. I could see this cooking thing. I could see these three of these instrument boards. What else was in there, I couldn't see. There could have been more men. Something like that, but I couldn't see in the whole thing, just that small hatch.
So, well,
it's about 30 inches wide and about 6 foot long, you know, when it raised up. And I had to reach up quite high to have the water, and the man never got out. None of them got out. And I had my left hand on the machine, not thinking about radioactive, but nothing happened to me yet.
Well,
Mr. Simonton, what does your family think about this? Well, my family isn't here. My wife is working in Chicago, and she isn't here. I'm all alone.
But nobody else is there at the time.
That's right. Nobody would go by. I live right on Blacktop Road, but nobody went by at that time. So the only proof I got is he's panicking.
Uh-huh.
And my word for it.
Well, when did the authorities say they expect an analysis back from Washington?
It'll take a week anyhow to get it.
A week?
Yeah.
And the,
well, all the papers have been calling me night long distance. Sorry, they got it through the Philippine Press that you thought of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in the journal and one radio station in Minneapolis called me.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, how many people now did you talk to before got a hold of Jesse Carter?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Just when I go uptown, people in my own neighborhood in the Needle River, they ask me about it. I just go around, talk to them, and they ask me.
And their general reaction was that it was a joke?
That's right.
And Jesse?
And a few of them that have read up on this, they believe it. And now everybody believes it.
Everybody up there believes it.
I don't care if nobody believes it. I know it's right. If they don't want to believe it, that's up to them. I know what I saw, and that's it.
Well, Mr. Simonton, what do you think of this whole thing?
Well, really, I don't know what to think of it. I know it's taking up a lot of my time, and I'm not thinking anything on it. I'm losing time. I'm a bummer, see?
Mm-hmm.
And, right now, it's my busy season. Of course, anybody wants any information, I'm glad to give it some. But to see it's getting so that the car's coming in and bothering me and everything.
Well, would you tend to think that this thing exists from outer space? Would that be your guess?
Well, I would guess it was, yes. Why didn't they talk to me if it was? Why didn't they say something?
Did you ask them anything?
I didn't say a word, but I was going to, and they closed the hat so quick, you know. And
got out of there. In other words, all you think this fellow was after was water.
That was after water, that's right.
In exchange for a few pancakes.
Well, I was friendly with him, and I motioned, and I pointed to the pancakes. I didn't think he'd give me any. I just motioned like, are you eating? You know, he looked at me, and he looked over at me, and he said, we got these four hands in them.
But now, say these fellows didn't come up in the saucer, is there anything that would make you believe they were different than an ordinary human being here on Earth?
The only thing is that they were tall. They were about 5 foot tall. They were well built and proportional. All about I would say in their 25 to 30, somewhere around there. And they were really real demon, or else they had no hair on their face. I don't know.
Did they wear anything on their head?
They had a form-fitting cap that looked like a hip outfit, like they wore a helmet over it. Rough time. But they didn't have no buttons, no metal, no lettering on the figures say, no figures nothing. It was absolute close. And it was the most guiding, brightest, calmest thing that I ever seen in my life. I've seen a lot of bright things on cars and that, but this thing, I'll tell you, I can't really explain how bright it was. Now, that water test that they gave me, it was a sandy. It was made out of the same, looked like the same material. It was bright inside and out. And it wasn't light as aluminum, and yet it didn't seem as heavy as steel. It wasn't heavy, but it was made on a thermos pattern, you know what I mean? While I was telling you, I was looking at it. It had a handle on each side of the top, like a big boss, you know?
Yes.
The cork of it was metal also, and it just squeaked in, it just threw it. And it was fastened to the jug by a flexible cable wire or something. It wasn't chained, you know? You know, so it wouldn't lose weight, it was all. And I put the cork in, I gave him the water, and he gave me his panic case, and he closed the hatch just right now, like that. Some kind of gravity propulsion, but when they took off, it was hooked all with the flash.